Do you remember when we started this teaching in the book of Samuel? Does anyone remember what I said about this book? It's an internal teaching in your life. This has to be taken from the external and placed to the internal so we can get the correlation that God is placing in our spirits about this book. Now, I could memorize this book and quote word for word, but still have no understanding of what God is doing. Does that make sense to you? There's people who can lay to memory this whole book word for word, but have no understanding of the Spirit of God and what God's plans and purposes for their life is. So you could teach a parrot to memorize Scripture, but the parrot does not understand what it's saying. It's just making sounds. And that's the way most church folk do. They memorize Scriptures and they think, if at time of need, I'll just quote this Scripture and everything will be okay. And that's kind of like the name it and claim it, you know. I can just call God up and rub this bottle and he'll jump out like a genie and take care of my problems. God is the God of now. Okay? He's a God of present truth. It's not something that'll be true someday. If it's truth, it's truth right now. Do you understand that? Right now, if it's truth, it has always been truth and it always will be truth. It's not someday going to become truth. Does that make any sense to you? The church has preached to us for too many years that someday you'll know the truth. But Jesus told us very clearly in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, you shall know that you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and that truth that you know will make you free. Did it say make you free in the sweet by and by? Did it say in the next age? The next millennium? No, when you know it, guess when you become free? Right then. Right when you know it. Well, how many of us want to be free? With no response, I'll answer for you. I know every one of you want to be free. Now, how are you going to do it? How are you going to get free, Bob?
Define what free means.
Well, according to Scripture, he said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. So this freedom does not mean doing what you want to define the word.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
Defining the word freedom, freedom is not doing what you want. And I'm talking spiritual freedom here. It's living within God's limitations and boundaries and being happy there. I'm happy to be within God's limits and boundaries. I'm not dissatisfied with anything God has in my life to go for me to go through or do. That's true freedom, see? I don't have to worry about tomorrow, today, or yesterday, or next week, or any time. I don't have to worry because my Father is in control of my life. All I do is respond to commands that He gives me. He didn't say, beat me to do it. He asked me to do something, I respond. That's true freedom to me. To live wherever God wants me to, under His conditions, and being happy there. Had a man call me, a friend of mine that was living in there, in below Maysville, and God shook his life up in the last few years. His wife left him. He had a very profitable business, nice home, lost everything he had. They repossessed even his automobile. He took the last one and headed for Colorado, and he got to Colorado and they come out there and repossessed it. It wasn't worth repossessing. They probably spent more in fuel to go after it than it was worth one way. But anyway, he told me yesterday, he said, I'm the happiest I've been in my entire life. Out of all the stuff that I accumulated in my life and everything, I lost it all. And it doesn't mean a thing to me anymore. I realized it was nothing, that I was fighting to hold on to things that meant absolutely nothing. And see, that was a man who's become free. He's realized that all the stuff in this world means nothing. It's what goes on in your thinking process. Everything that happens in your life, do you know it's controlled by your thinking? Everything that goes on, like if I get mad, so-and-so may mess. They can't make you mad. Only you can make you mad. Do you realize that? Only I can be offended when I let myself be offended. Isn't that true? If somebody comes up and says something nasty to me, I've got two choices. I can be offended and get bitter, or I can let it go and be better. Which way am I going to go? See? If I'm intelligent, I'm going to let it go and just be better about the whole thing. Because I don't want to give up my peace because someone's done something stupid to me. Okay? Let it go. So it's an experience, and I'm really blessed this man has come along. And we talked about it yesterday, about things we had talked about years ago that he couldn't understand. He's beginning to see them now because he's beginning to experience them. Okay? It's not just words that you say. If it was just words, that's what the church thinks. You can just say words to somebody and everybody just jumps to and everything's perfect. No, we have to experience those words. And he's beginning to experience them, and he's coming right around. So I'm blessed by that. Okay? So again, this book is something going on inside, right? And we will be in what chapter this morning? 15. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. Starting the first verse. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to the Israel. Now he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go to and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 of Judah, men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, Go, depart, get ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until they came to Shur, which is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the ox and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was despised was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What means this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, I have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, when didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord had sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep, oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel returned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to your neighbor, a neighbor of thine that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of my people and before the Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Again, this is spiritual. This has nothing to do with what I just read. And I want to try to do the best I can do with what God has shown me to show you how this relates to your life. Okay? This is your life. It's an internal work. And Samuel said to Saul, the first one again, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people. Not to be king over, but he sent me to anoint you. See, there's that futuristic tense that the King James language is always putting in there. He sent me to anoint you to be. Someday you might be king. No, he anointed him. When was he king? When was he king when he was anointed? Right then. As soon as he was anointed, he was king. And he said, king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken, and the word hearken is shama, means hear intelligently with the intent to respond to the voice of the word of the Lord. And see, that's the only thing we're supposed to respond to. Hear intelligently the word of the Lord and respond to what we hear. If I hear something, if Ed would come to me and tell me something, and I just look at him and say, but I never respond to anything that was said, what purpose was there? It's a one-sided conversation. See, somebody doesn't come to you and tell you something except they want you to respond. Now, Bob, this morning you said, I want to say something, I'd like to get some feedback from somebody, didn't you? See, I want another side to this conversation. Because Bob could have talked to the trees as he drove over here this morning, couldn't you? And got no response. And he could do the same thing when he came in here, couldn't you? But if you ask for a response, what should there be? There should be a response. And God says with this word, I want you to hear intently and clearly and with the intent to respond. And that's what we should do with the word of God at all times. May not be what you want, but you're going to hear it. There should be some kind of response. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek, okay, did to Israel. Now, Amalek means dweller in a valley. Somebody staying at the low realm all the time. See? Is that our call to live in the valley all the time? We're supposed to be going on up to the top of the mountain. See? There it is. We're not supposed to sit in the valley. We're supposed to go. So he's talking about the people of low degree that want to stay down in that valley. How he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Well, when you're in the lower realms, he said they were coming up from Egypt. Egypt speaks of what? Duality, or the world. The lower realms, it's still duality. Okay? So as you ascend up out of there, that's what happened. Okay? That's what happened to Israel when they were coming in. They were ambushed by this duality. And guess where most people are ambushed? In the lower realms in duality. That's where people are ambushed in the spirit. See, they're ambushed by believing that what the church realm has told them is the truth, rather than working out their own salvation with deliverance with fear and trembling. Beg pardon? Well, sure, but that's the lower realms in our thought process. When we stay in those lower realms of the church, we're not even using our thought process. We're listening to what someone else said instead of using the mind that God gave you to use. See? Absolutely, they're not thinking. So he said what Amalek did to the Israel, how he came, when they came up out of Egypt, and out of that duality, that's where the deception was coming from. He said, now go to. Now he's telling Saul what he's supposed to do, okay? Saul is set up as king over Israel, right? Who do you think that would represent? The sons of God, the Christ. He said, now go to and smite Amalek. What is Amalek? Okay. No, I said the Amalekite, which is, okay, excuse me, it is. I'm sorry. Looked at something wrong. The dwellers in the valley. He said, now you go smite those dwellers in the valley. Now, when we take that internal, what are we talking about? Absolutely, we're talking about our Passover and Pentecostal experiences internal. What I think about what I'm in those realms, when I was in those lower realms of duality, okay? So when I'm in that realm, he says, go smite them. Do you think he's telling me to go out here and attack the Passover and Pentecostal churches? No, he's saying attack the thought processes in my mind that associated me with that thinking. Okay? It's changing your mind, renewing your mind so it can be back to the top of the mountain where it belongs, no longer in the valley of duality, okay, in the shadows. So he says, go smite them. Utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and nursing mother. That word suckling should be nursing mother. Now, how many things did he just tell him to destroy so far that I read right there? What's four represent? Complete. God wants all or complete destruction of those thinking processes out of the natural realm. Okay? You can't kill part of the Amalekites and keep part of them. That's what this story is all about that's written here. When God says destroy all the thinking processes in your mind about the natural way of doing something, that doesn't mean that you can't feed yourself or you can't go buy something or you can't do business. It's saying doing the carnal way of thinking, which is contrary to God's work. Okay? That's what you got to get rid of. You got to put God's principles into your thinking process so whatever you do, you're using the principles of God to do it. And he goes on and says, kill also the sheep, the camel, and the ox, the sheep, the camel, and the ass. Well, what do you think those four represent there? The complete beast nature. They wipe it all out. All the humanistic beast of nature. And Saul did what? Well, the word gathered is wrong. The word gathered here is the Hebrew word shama. He heard the people. Now, later on, I'll bring it back to you and show you where it says it later on that he listened to the people. I just read it to you a while ago. He listened to the people. He heard the people's voice, and he responded to that instead of God's voice. So this word here should be, and Saul heard the people. The word together shouldn't even be there. He heard the people, and he did what? Literally, he mustered them, or gathered them together, in where? Telaim. Does anybody know what that word means? There's some multiple meanings. It means the lamb. He gathered them together in what? In the lamb. What did God do? He sent his son who gathered all people together in himself, did he not? And he was the lamb, was he not? See? That's the symbol of this. So the sons are called to do what they're told. And Saul went ahead and listened to the people. And he numbered them, or he gathered them together in Telaim, in Christ. And what's the number there after that? It says 200,000 footmen, but that 200,000 isn't correct because the word two isn't in the language. It's just 100,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. So there's a tithe there, isn't there? See? He's counting up the tithe. The word two shouldn't even be in there. It was an added word. That's right. He's gathering them together. And Saul came to the city of Amalek. And Saul came to the city of flesh. Amalek represents the flesh, the low degree, the fleshly thinking. And laid wait in the valley, and that's where they lived, in that low place, don't they? And Saul said to the men, and said unto the Kenites. Do you know what the word Kenite means? Beg pardon? No. It's not knife. It's Kenites. It means smith or blacksmith. People that worked with iron and shaped the iron. The smiths. And you know, that's where names came from. People today that are called smith came from a history of people that were what? Blacksmiths. See? That's how they got the names. So a lot of people were that way. Anyway, so he said to these smiths, these people, workers of iron, and that's kind of a stubborn will too. He said, go, depart. Go, the word get you down should be go from among the Amalekites. Get out of the flesh. Get away from it. Get away from it, lest I destroy you with them. You showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when we came up out of duality. So the smiths departed from among the flesh. And if it was people around by the name of Smith, they could get happy about that. Okay? If they were paying attention to it. And Saul smote the flesh from where? Havilah. You know what Havilah means? A circle. He smote them in the circle until you come, and the word until ending there, until you come to Shur. He said, you smote them in this circle, this realm, until you come to where? Shur. What does the word Shur mean? It's a wall. So as long as you're in them two realms, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be caught up in the battle with the Amalekites. You're going to be wrestling with the flesh. What did Paul write in the New Covenant? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, do we? We don't wrestle flesh and blood. I'm not fighting against humanity. I'm fighting against the thought processes in my head. That's the only thing I have to do battle with, is the thought processes in my head. When my thought processes get right, there is no more battle. Because all you have left in is the mind of the Lord. Right? And we know that when you do this battle, in Hebrews 6 it says, if God permits, we'll go on. You can only go so far in the flesh. And that's where most of the church realms and people in their understanding is. They go as far as God will let them, and unless the Spirit intervenes, how do you expect them to go on? I hear people say all the time, they get upset about people doing things, but they don't understand. They're expecting a person with no spiritual understanding to act like a spiritual person. Anybody relate to that? I can't expect Jessie to act like she's 30 years old, can I? She's not 30 years old. She's a little girl. Right? So guess what? If for me to expect someone that I deal with in my life to act mature and adult when they're not mature and adult, guess what I'm asking for? I'm asking for something that's impossible for them to do. So now what have I got to do? I've got to look at something. Why is this person who maybe is in an adult body but their thinking process is still childish, why are they in my life? Tell me, why are they in my life? They're working for me. They're helping me grow to maturity. Does that mean I got to put up with them the rest of my life? No. What it means is I got to find out what the purpose for them in my life and go on with it. Right? I don't have to sit there forever. All I have to do is find out what that lesson's about, learn my lesson, and get on with it. It's part of the journey. Okay? And he was told here, he was sent on a journey. He was told to slay everything about the flesh. So what part of your understanding are you allowed to keep? What part are you allowed to keep, Bob? None of your understanding. Not your understanding. Of God's understanding you keep, so you replace it. See, so you can't keep your own understanding because...
I thought you meant your understanding of God.
No, I'm the other way, the natural way. That's why he said you have to kill the man, woman, the infant, and the nursing mother, the ox, the sheep, the camel, and the ass. You got to get rid of all of it. All flesh has to go. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God, does it? Yep, he still took Lot with him. And Saul went to the Canaanites. Oh, we already told him we did that, didn't we? And verse 7, and Saul smote him from Havilah, the circle, in the complete circle or realm, until he came to the wall that is over what? It's over against, it says, Egypt. The word against, guess what it really is? Panim, which is in the presence of what? The wall is in the presence, okay? Shur is the place of the wall that is in the presence of what? It's your mind, but it's in duality. See? That wall is only in your mind. The only thing that stops you or hinders you from going on anywhere is what? It's your thinking process. The only reason anyone can't do anything, as we were talking this morning about people who don't have a desire to be productive in our society, what stops them, Ed? It's their thinking process. They think they don't have to. Either they think that they're above working or they don't have to work. Somebody else will take care of me, whatever. But it's their thinking process that makes them stay in the realm that they're in. See, it's the thing that hinders. They see that as a wall that's going to hinder you from going on. To me, the wall is a challenge. It means I got to get up and go do something, right? I got to make a move here. I can't stay behind the wall. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Somebody tell me what's wrong with that. Do you know what Agag means? Agag means I will overtop. Literally, just put the first two words in there. I will. It's the ego of man. That's what this thing represents. It's the ego of man. And see, there's the one thing that nobody wants to slay. They'll kill everything else, but boy, not my ego. They won't do it. See, they still want to be on top. Remember Isaiah 14, where, what do they call it? I'm trying to say the word now. Can't say it because I know it's not even supposed to be in there. It's Adam's who it is, but Son of the Morning. Lucifer. Yeah, there it is. I couldn't even say the word ain't even supposed to be in the book anyway. That's why it's hard for me to remember it. I'm glad I can't hardly remember it. But literally Lucifer, literally the Son of the Morning, the Shining One. It was Christ. It was Adam. He said, I will ascend to the mount of the north. I will be like the Most High. I'll sit on top and I'll make all the decisions. What is that? It's the ego of man. And this is exactly what we're talking about here. It's something internal. We have to come and see that if we don't deal with myself, I can't tell you what to do if I can't deal with myself. Everybody, as long as I am still alive within me, then I'm going to try to interfere with your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've got to get my Agag dealt with. Everybody's got to get their own Agag and chop him up.
Gag the Agag.
Gag the Agag. You got to get rid of him. Okay? But Saul took Agag alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings. And of the fatlings shouldn't even be there. It should be, and double the lambs. And the lambs, guess what, is not right. The word lamb should be full-grown rams. And all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was despised and worthless, that they destroyed utterly. Doesn't that sound like people today? If it don't mean nothing, they can crash it out. But boy, if it's something they value... the self things, the stuff, they can they'll hold on to that for everything. And that's what Saul did. And Saul is no more than you in your life. If you can't see this, you're not going to change. You've got to see that Saul was you. And God has given you the ability to do what he told you to do. He give you the sword in your hand to deal with these beastly natures. He give you the word of God to deal with these things. If you don't deal with them, whose fault is it? Someone tell me whose fault it would be if I don't deal with the word of God in my life. It's my fault. See, you can't blame anybody else for what's going on in your life. You got to take responsibility for yourself. That's called maturity. And everybody talks about we want to go to tabernacles. Well, if you want to be in tabernacles, you better take care of the maturity in your life, the responsibility of your life, and deal with what God's trying to show you. See, we can't put it off and do with it somewhere down the road. God shows it to you for one reason, for it to be dealt with. Okay? Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, not repent me, that ain't even the language. It says, I'm sorry that I have set up Saul king, because he turned back from following me and has not carried out my words, not performed my commandments. It should be carried out my word. He's not carried out my word. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. Okay? Who do you think Samuel would represent in your life? Saul represents the Christ, and that's the man starting out trying to get things right. Okay? Who would Samuel represent? The Holy Spirit coming to help you deal with your life, telling you what the Lord is saying. Okay? And it grieved him all night long. And when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. What's Carmel mean? The garden land. The garden. In the morning they came to the garden. Okay? And behold, he set him up a place and set up some boundaries. And he has gone about and passed on and gone down to where? Gilgal. He was already up in the garden and he went down. He backed up. It is, yes. But he went down to the place called Gilgal. It means the word, literally in the language, the Hebrew language means a rolling wheel. Well, you know what something that rolls around is? It's unstable. So Saul went to this place, went back to the place of instability. Okay? He chose not to go on and stay in the garden, but he chose to go back into that place, and I could go someplace in that. Wow. And Samuel came to Saul and said to him, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the word of the Lord. Don't that sound like religion? You think Samuel didn't know what God said to Saul? Saul is trying to convince the Spirit of God that he did what he was supposed to. And that's just like us. Our minds will try to convince us that we did the right thing even when we know we did the wrong thing. Will it not? Huh? Well, there's some guile involved. Yes, there is. That's exactly what it's about. So he says, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the word of the Lord. No, he didn't. Agag's alive, isn't he? And Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from... See, it's they now. See how quick our minds do that? It's always somebody else. Pointing the finger at somebody. It's that woman you gave me. They have brought them from the Amalekites. They brought them from the flesh. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly... See, now it's we. He said they did that wrong thing, but we did what was right. Who's the king? Saul. Guess who's responsible? Saul. I'm responsible for the actions of my life. Do you realize that? You're responsible for the actions of your life. Isn't that true? I'm not responsible for anybody else. I'm responsible for myself. And then Samuel said to Saul, stop. Not stay, stop. And I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou was little in your own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you over king, over a ruler, over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey. Now what he's doing here is calling something to his remembrance. All that Samuel's doing here is saying, look, Saul, here's what God said. Here's what he told you to do. You said you kept the word of the Lord, or you performed the word of the Lord, okay? But you didn't. You did what you wanted. You rearranged it in your mind. And remember those things we call cherubim that's in our minds that kind of help us think about things when we don't need to? That's exactly what went on in Saul's mind. It goes on in our minds every day. We have to know the word of the Lord. If we don't know the word of God, how are we ever going to keep things in order? Because our minds are going to change things just like Saul did. Okay? He sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the what? Not the sinners, but the guilty. And the word thee shouldn't be there between that and the Amalekites. So he said, go get destroy the guilty flesh. He's not talking about people. I got to destroy that fleshly thinking in my mind. Okay? And fight against them until they be what? He didn't say fight against them until you decide you've killed enough of them, did he? He said you fight against them until they be consumed. That means utterly destroyed. Well, if everything about the Amalekites was to be destroyed, everything about the flesh was to be destroyed, what is Agag doing sitting there? What's the sheep and the cows doing there? See? You know what they're seeing? Hey, this would be wasting some good stuff that we should be holding on to because it could save us some money. God's not interested in the money. Correct? Let's go on with it. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? See, he didn't do what God told him. He saw the value there and saved some money. And there's what the natural mind wants you to do all the time. It's always about the amount of dollars on it. Why do you think the church realm is so perverted today? Because they got dollar signs in their eyeballs on everything they see. It's not about money. This money isn't going to make it to the kingdom of God. Nothing in this natural realm is going to make it. The only thing that enters the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God, which Spirit dwells within you. It's not going to enter the kingdom other than by Spirit, not by physical things. And Saul said to Samuel, yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. Well, the word here is Shammah. I've heard it and I've obeyed it. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But, here comes that billy goat religion, no responsibility. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief, the word chief here is Reshith. They took the first fruit of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal, in instability. In their unstable thinking, guess what they did? They went and jumped on this stuff. But see, Saul is the king. He's responsible. He has the authority. I can say, well, I didn't mean to do it. But you know what? My mind did it. Guess who's responsible, Bob? That's exactly right, I am. My mind did it. I'm responsible. If I do something, I have to carry the responsibility for it. And Saul is saying, hey, the people did it. As long as we have this thinking process in us that we blame somebody else for where we're at, you are never going to enter into the kingdom of God because you're still living in the Adamic nature, in the flesh with the Amalekites. You've got to separate from this thing. You cannot blame somebody else for where you're at. Because as long as you do that, you really don't know who you are. I'm not saying you're never going to enter. I'm saying as long as you have that thinking process, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hello? Did you hear what I'm saying? It's when you have this, possess this thinking process, just like Saul is here, that it's somebody else's fault, that he won't accept responsibility for the actions of what he was given authority over. Was he not anointed king of Israel? Authority? Sovereign authority over all of Israel. And he did not hold the people. Okay? His fault. Now watch. And Samuel said, has the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Does he have as much there as he does in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Because rebellion in the next two words, is as, shouldn't even be there. Because rebellion, the offense of witchcraft and stubbornness, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Hello. Did you have something to say? Absolutely. But look what he said. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Who rejected it? Saul. Who is Saul? That's my natural man that's been called, and just like it says in Ezekiel. He was perfect, in Job. He was perfect in the day he was created. He was upright, loved God, and hated evil. But he still had not passed the test yet, had he? See? Same thing here. He says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Do you realize what that's saying? As long as I reject the word of God and refuse to let it change my thinking process, then the word of God will reject me from being in the kingdom. Do you hear that? You'll never be where you're supposed to be until you let the word of God take its course in your life. And Saul said to Samuel, a little late, but he said it, I have missed the mark because I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared what? I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Remember when he said he had kept the word of the Lord? No, he didn't. Now he's being honest. And once you get this commandment from God, you get this word from God saying, now you're rejected because you have rejected my word. Then he comes up and says, oh, well, wait a minute, I can be honest now. When are we supposed to be honest about it? How about all the time? See? So when God starts dealing with it, we can't lie to God. We can't deceive God. He already knows what's going on. He said, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord of thy and thy words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This is not about what people think about you. It's not what you want people to think about you. It's doing what you're told by God, not by people. It's what God has put in your heart to do. Now therefore I pray you, pardon my offense and turn with me again that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I'll not return with you because you have rejected the word of the Lord and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. That's a hard thing. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt or the edge of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom or the rule and reign of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How many of us want to hear that in our life? That God has ripped the rule and reign of the kingdom of God out of our hands and given it to someone that was better than us. Now that same thing's going to ring in our heads one of these days. Because we have an opportunity to do what God is telling us to do, and if we don't do it, guess what's going to happen? We're going to hear those very words ring in our spirit one day. You don't have the reign because you have rejected the word of God. Do you know how many people are going to hear that? Boy, a whole lot of people. It's not going to be a happy day for many people when they hear that. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils, healed the sick? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It's the same thing. See?
It has to be.
It has to be. If the kingdom of God is going to be in purity and holiness and righteousness, then I can't justify myself in my iniquity and drag it into the kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying? I can't take my iniquity in and call it good. What did Isaiah say about our righteousness? Well, guess what? I can't drag that into the kingdom. See? The kingdom is not a literal location anyway. It's spiritual. It's inside of ourselves. Oh, my God. Where did I leave off? Oh, 28. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel," that's God, "will not lie nor be sorry, because he is not" what? What does it say there? Well, guess what that word is? It's number 120 in the Hebrew language dictionary, in the Strong's dictionary. He is not Adam. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent because he is not Adam. The Adam man will do something. He will lie. That he should be sorry. He is not Adam that he should be sorry. And then he said, then Saul says, "I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn with me again that I may worship the Lord thy God." Okay? All he's saying is, give me a chance, let me worship God. He didn't say he was going to restore his reign to him, did he? Kind of like, don't take my spirit away from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then said Samuel, "Bring hither to me Agag." Who is Agag? He's your ego. You're going to have to come to a place where the spirit within you says, "Bring me Agag. Bring me your ego and the king of the Amalekites. Bring me the ego from your flesh." And Agag came to him delicately. That meant he came cautiously. He was hoping something. Some of the translations say it this way. Well, the time for dying's probably over with. You know, they're probably not as mad now. So I can sneak back in and they won't kill me. See, I've got this far. I can probably go ahead and slip out, see. And that's not what happens, is it? And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past. Like I've escaped death." You know what the ego of man is always going to say? "I've still got a chance until they hack me up. They haven't chopped me up yet. They've decided to keep me alive." And as long as you feel like your ego is so important that you've got to keep it, it's going to deceive you. It's always going to come back and get you in trouble. It's going to hinder you from coming into the kingdom of God and the rule and the reign of God. That's all your ego is going to do, is keep you from living, ruling, and reigning with God. Okay? And Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women." Now let me tell you what this says. This ain't what it was talking about. Let's look into the spirit realm of this thing. What is the sword? No, not the word of God, but the word of Agag. Look who we're talking about here. "As thy sword," he was talking to Agag. This is Samuel talking, the Spirit of God talking to Agag, right? The ego of man. "As your words have made" who? Souls. You've made the souls childless, right? "So shall your soul be childless among the souls." Hello? As long as Agag is alive and well within you, the ego of man, You will never produce the man child in your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? You will be childless among the souls, because the child will never be birthed from you as long as the ego of man is there. Two men in the same place creates a problem, don't it? It's called homosexuality. There's not a place for two men in this place. There's only a place for one. God said, I'll not share my glory with another man, but I will share it with myself, my spirit. Okay? And Samuel hewed the ego into pieces in the presence of the Lord in Gilgal, in the place of instability. As long as Agag is alive, guess what you are? You're unstable. You can go into the life of Jacob. When Jacob prophesied to the 12 sons, and he said to the one, what was his first son? Reuben. Thou art my firstborn. Right? He said, yet you're unstable as water, and you shall not excel. In that realm of the first lowest realms, guess what? We're unstable. We've got to come to a place where we're stable. We're standing upon a rock. We're not down in the valley where all the sludge is, where all the crap rolls up down there. We've got to get up on the side of the mountain where we belong. But he destroyed him in that place of instability. And then Samuel, which represents the Spirit of God in you, right, went to Ramah. What does Ramah represent? What does the word mean? What does it mean? Huh? Okay. Ramah means the hill or the place. Okay. We're talking about the high place. Okay. The true place of worship. The Spirit of God goes back into the high place, the hill of God. And Saul went to his house in Gibeah. Guess what Gibeah means? A little hill. Gibeah means a little hill. Okay? So Saul, in his place of instability, stayed in those lower realms, didn't he? The hill, T-H-E, the hill, okay? The higher hill, Mount Zion, okay? And Saul went to his house in Gibeah, which is the little hill, which is the lower hill, okay? He was in a lower realm, Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death, because Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord was sorry because he had made Saul king over Israel. Not the same as what you read when you read the King James, is it? He's trying to give us a picture of what he's trying to do in our lives. He wants us to understand. He wants us to see. He wants us to agree with him. See? He's not trying to make us into a bunch of robots that we can't think. But he wants us to think with the mind that he gave us. And if you give me the mind of Ed, then how am I going to think? I think like Ed thinks. If you give me the mind of Lloyd, what am I going to think like? Didn't Paul say we have the mind of Christ? Then how should we be thinking? I mean, I don't know any other way to think than to think the way that this is teaching me. You see what I mean? It's what's in me. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If my mind is filled with the Word of God, how can I think anything other but the Word of God? I'm not talking about the letter of the Word. I'm talking by the Spirit of this Word. It's such a wonderful, wonderful thing to be free. And I know most people don't understand what freedom is. It's not doing what you want. It's doing what God puts on you as limits and boundaries, and then being happy there. Okay? Well, I'm done.